Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we invite your calls right now at 844-322-2742. So if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the broadcast live, and you can reach directly into the studio and speak with us right now. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday, we put a couple of questions out there, you know, how to stop sinning and what do we do when we sin? Mm-hmm. And those were questions that haunted me as a new believer in Christ and haunted me for a number of years until I came to grips with the truth that Paul was explaining in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 2 specifically.
Yeah.
And we read a couple of verses out of that passage yesterday, and I want to continue on with that train of thought. And it says, "And you," this is verse 13 of chapter 2, "and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him." Now, that's what salvation is all about. We were dead spiritually, and then God makes us alive together with Christ. So just as Christ was raised from the dead physically, we're raised from the dead spiritually to walk in the newness of life. That is the salvation story. That's what God has done through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason he was able to make us alive together with Christ is this next phrase. He says, "You were made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses," or all our sins. So there was only one way for God to make us alive, and that was first to deal with the sin issue, the very thing that killed us from the get-go. So when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they died spiritually. They passed on that spiritual condition to all mankind. So when you and I came into this world, we came into this world dead spiritually, dead in trespasses and sins. So Christ died on the cross. He took our sins in his body. He bore them on that tree, and he died. And in dying, he shed his blood. He laid down his life, and he forgave us. And that forgiveness leads to life everlasting. So these are, the two sides of the coin of salvation, forgiveness and life. Right. Okay, so in Christ we have forgiveness of sins, and all of our sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. But he goes on. He doesn't just leave it there that he has forgiven all of our trespasses. This is how he did it, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. So there was a record that stood against us. So if you put us under the righteous requirements of the law, we come up short.
Yes.
We fail. And the wages of sin is death. So that was the record against us. And we think that record oftentimes is still standing, that it's still up in God's heaven, and he looks at it every once in a while, and when he does, he gets mad at us, and he causes bad things to happen to us, or he turns his back on us. Whatever it might be, whatever image we may have in our heads, we think that record of debt, our record of debt, still stands. But that is not the case. Christ took that record of debt. He canceled it once and for all with all of its legal demands. He set it aside, nailing it to the cross. That's what it means to be forgiven. Yeah. That debt has been canceled in full. You have been released totally, wholly, forever. That's the good news. So that you could be made alive forever with Christ and experience eternal life. So if you want to find your place of rest in Jesus Christ, if that is one of your New Year's resolutions, to be at rest in your soul as far as your relationship with Christ is concerned, this is one of those drop mic verses. I mean, this just says it all, that you sinned, you deserved death. Jesus stood in your place. He took your sins in his body. He took the record that stood against you. He canceled it by nailing it to the cross. So there's no record against you. There was a record. Jesus took it. He dealt with it. He condemned your sin in his body. Yeah. He died in your place. Now that record is gone. There's no double jeopardy as far as God is concerned.
Yeah.
So rest in that. Mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling. But when you rest in it, it will absolutely change your life and prepare you to live this new life that you have in Christ to the full by grace through faith in Jesus.
And that is good news. And friends, it's the kind of news you hear every day here at Basic Gospel. You know, but the other side of that is when you give to support Basic Gospel, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're supporting a ministry that proclaims the fullness of grace found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We think that's a message worth supporting, and it's why the members of our staff give back to Basic Gospel. We give because we believe the message that we bring to the airwaves and online every day. We give so that others also might hear, believe, and live now and forever in the glorious presence of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we invite you to join us and help get the message out. Please click donate at basicgospel.net and partner with us, friends, in this gospel message. Again, the donate link at basicgospel.net. Well, plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. If you have 6 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can reach right into the studio and speak directly with us if you call right now, 844-322-2742. Of course, that number is available 24 hours a day, but if you'd like to get to us live, call right now, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, this question from Sherry, who is the Facebook viewer, she says, does the Jewish people's rejection of Christ have a bearing on them as a people?
Well, it certainly did back in their day. Their rejection of the Messiah, the one that they had been waiting for, the one that they had been anticipating as they read the scriptures and they knew that God was going to send somebody on their behalf. Their rejection of that Messiah brought about dire consequences as far as the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
They were taken captive by the Roman Empire. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was torn down, and it hasn't been rebuilt. Mm-hmm. It's since 1948. That Israel has been reconstituted as a nation, but for almost 2,000 years, that land was a barren wasteland. But in the big scheme of things, the big picture, God still has a plan for the people of Israel. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 9. He starts out, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. So God still has Israel in his mind. And this gospel message, as it goes forth, it goes to both Jew and Gentile. And that's the good news. And so we read about that all throughout Paul's writings. He said that this gospel is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and then the Gentile. When Paul went into a town, he always went to the synagogue first. Why? To reason with the Jews in the synagogue that this Christ was indeed the Messiah,
yeah.
was the appointed one, the one that they were waiting for. And usually they would kick him out, and he would go to the Gentiles and tell the story to the Gentiles, and they received. But I think there's going to come a time when this gospel message cycles back to them, and they're going to realize that just as the Gentiles needed mercy, they needed mercy, and they're going to find their true meeting place with God in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Sherry, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And reach out again if you have another question concerning this. Well, right now, plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk to Danny, listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Danny.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You were welcome.
Hey, so I've had a conversation with some friends of mine from church about this, and we're kind of at a crossroads. Think about the millions of people that have never heard the name of Jesus since the beginning of time. How are they held accountable for their sins?
Well, in Romans chapter 1, verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that they have made. So they are without excuse. One will be able to stand.
That's the verse we talked about.
What's that?
Yeah, that's the verse that, we talked about, that was brought up in the conversation. But what my argument, I'm not arguing against it, but if Jesus is the only way, right?
Correct.
The only way that we're reconciled to God. If it's only Jesus, and that's what I believe, it's 100% Jesus plus nothing. How then? I mean, I understand what you mean. I think that God put in man, obviously, something that we have a knowledge of something more out there. I think everybody that's mentally coherent has that, right? I think that's what that verse talks about. But without Jesus, you know what I'm saying?
Well, Danny, I do know exactly what you're saying. I mean, this has been a question that's been discussed and debated and talked about for many, many years. And I think it gets down to what do we know about God? And what we know about God,
he loves.
That's right. And he's also big enough to get the message concerning his son to anybody, anywhere, at any time. I mean, that's not a problem to God. It's a problem to us, Danny. It's, when we look at it from a human perspective, how can that be? How can we get the message out to every single person in the world, in every corner of the world, every remote place in the world, every place where we don't even know people exist? Well, from our vantage point, that looks impossible. But from God's vantage point, he knows where everybody is, and he's big enough to get the message concerning his son to anyone, anywhere, at any time. And so I think that's the answer to that question. God's big enough for that job.
Amen. Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. That's a good perspective, and I'll look through those verses again. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome, Danny. Hey, thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold. I'd love to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, just for calling today. So hang on, okay?
Thank you.
Friends, we invite you to join the live video stream of this program every day from either Facebook or YouTube. You'll find direct links at the top of the homepage at our Basic Gospel website, that is basicgospel.net. Simply click one of those links, either Facebook or YouTube, a minute or so before the top of the hour, 3 p.m., and you'll be able to join the live broadcast and see what's going on in the studio. And we would love to hear from you and allow you to come in and kind of see what we're up to here. But right now, plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. And Bob, we had this question from Christina, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app. She said, "Hey, Bob, I'm currently enjoying my rest in God. My Christian walk has been joyous and filled with the gratitude and peace of Jesus Christ since understanding what Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension meant, and I have your ministry to thank for this. I was just reading the second chapter of James, and I cannot help but feel I may not be doing enough as a Christian. Can you give me your insight on this? It seems contradictory, and thanks for all you do." That's from Christina.
Well, James chapter 2 does seem contradictory to all that we read, for example, in Paul's letter. So Paul talks about justification being by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ. It's righteousness that we have is a gift from God. It's not something that we earn. And then we see James saying, for example, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well, even the demons believe. So do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? And I think what James, to me, what James is getting at, and this passage has been bantered about by theologians for years. Yeah. I mean, Martin Luther wanted to rip the pages of James right out of the Bible. He said that he's just way off. I don't like James. I don't think he belongs in the canon. He wanted to rip the pages of James out of the Bible. So it's not like this hasn't been a confusing passage throughout the history of the church. But I believe there is a synergy between what James is saying and what Paul is saying. And to me, the key is this: you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Mm-hmm. So they knew that God is one, but there was no faith attached to the demons. I mean, they're not bowing down and worshiping him. They are standing in rebellion against him, even though they know the truth.
Yeah.
Now, what does faith cause us to do? It causes us to bow down and worship the one true God.
Yeah.
That's the connection, and that's the work, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The bowing down, the worshiping of the one true God, and then learning to walk in dependence upon that one true God. So what he's saying is faith is not a static word. It's a dynamic word.
Mm-hmm.
There's something living about that word faith. It's not just a generic list of doctrines that we can read on a page of paper or on a computer screen or back in the day on a scroll. That's the faith of Christianity, the doctrines of Christianity laid out for us point by point by point by point. But my faith, that emanates from the heart in response to the grace of God, is a dynamic and living faith.
Yeah.
It was a faith that moved Abraham to take Isaac to an altar.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What did Abraham know about God? That he had power over death. That's what the writer of Hebrews says, that Abraham reasoned that God could bring Isaac back to life. And so that faith and that truth moved him to act. So that act was just the result of his belief in the Lord. So we see the dynamic of that faith in this story. So, Christina, you don't have to worry about doing enough. You simply have to trust the Lord and worship him and just walk by faith in him. That's the work of the ministry, is to believe in the Lord Jesus. And as you believe in the Lord Jesus, you're going to find yourself doing all sorts of things as a result of that dynamic and vibrant relationship you have with the living Christ.
Absolutely. Bob, thank you for that. Christina, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Friends, we still have time on the clock and open lines. If you'd like to be a part of this live edition of Basic Gospel, we encourage your call right now to 844-322-2742, but do it rather quickly if you can, 844-322-2742. Many of you were with us for the Friday teaching series late last year that addressed Bob Christopher's top 10 favorite passages. Well, as we've said before, we put those top 10 messages into a CD series by the same name, and we would like to send you a copy to say thank you for your gift of love and support for Basic Gospel and the message of God's grace in January. The top 10 will be an encouragement to you to walk with Jesus every day and grow in his grace. You can donate now or anytime when you visit basicgospel.net. And as I said, as our way of saying thank you for your gift, we're going to send you the top 10. Again, please donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, we've talked about three New Year's resolutions that for you to consider as a believer in Christ. Number one, find your place of rest in Jesus. That's where God wants all of us to be. Every relationship with the Lord Every person who begins to experience the abundant life starts from that place of rest, resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness that we have in Christ is that door that leads us into the fullness of God's grace, fully experiencing His life to the full. Then we have grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as the second resolution. That's what Scripture calls us to do, to grow in the grace of God. And we can. Why? Because we have the life source in us. This isn't something that we do through human effort. This isn't something that we do on our own. It's because we have life in us. We have the life of Jesus Christ in us. And therefore, He will push us to grow in grace, or to work with us in growing in grace and our knowledge of Him.
Yeah.
And then the third is learn to live out who we are as children of God. Well, why do I go through all of these? Because if this is something that is of interest to you, this series, my top 10, my favorite passages in the New Testament, one out of the Old Testament, will be passages that God will use to help you find your place of rest, to help you grow in grace, to help you live out who you are as a child of God.
And, of course, we want to make this our gift back to you, friends, as you make your gift to Basic Gospel in the month of January. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, a question from a Facebook viewer, David. With reference to Hebrews 9, 23 and 24, he asks, since the Jewish temple seems to be a copy of what is in heaven, would this heavenly temple be for any citizen of heaven, whether Jew or Gentile? Could you please elaborate on what this heavenly temple is, and is it an actual physical structure that we will see when we get to heaven?
Well, that's a really, really good question. And here's what we know. And we're going to look at Hebrews 10:1, for since the law was but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. So where were these sacrifices made? They were made in a temple. Well, the first form of that temple was the tabernacle that Moses built. And God gave specifications of how to build that. And those were that tabernacle was a model of that heavenly temple.
Mm-hmm.
And then David said, I want to build a permanent temple for God. He was unable to do that. Solomon built it. And he built it with like specifications.
Yeah.
Now, that temple was torn down, and the reason is that was a shadow. That was a part of the law. When Jesus died on the cross, He brought an end to that old covenant, and He said, that temple is going to be destroyed, and in 3 days, I'm going to rebuild it, and He was referring to His body.
Yeah.
So we have become the temple of God. So we are the ones that have been cleansed. We are the ones that have been made holy. We are the ones that have been made righteous so that God could come and dwell us. So we are the temple of God. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6. You individually are a temple of the living God. We corporately are a temple of the living God. Peter talks about that as well. We have become living stones, and God is placing us in this building that He is erecting through this gospel message. So we are the temple. We're going to see this new Jerusalem come down from heaven. That's going to be us. That's going to be the bride of Christ. And that's where God will have His permanent dwelling place on planet Earth in us.
That's just good news.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Bob, for that. And we appreciate hearing from all of our listeners. And we want to thank you for being with us today for this edition of Basic Gospel. And if you have any questions you'd like to address, well, if you can't get to us during the live broadcast, we would really love for you to do that. But if you can't, well, you can leave us a voicemail overnight at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you and address your question here at Basic Gospel. Again, that number, and it's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And once again, thanks to everyone who supports this ministry with your love, your prayers, and with your gifts. And in January, as we've said, we're going to make a gift to you. We'd like to say thanks for standing with us by sending you a copy of this latest CD series that Bob was just talking about, the top 10 Bob Christopher's favorite passages that we covered just a few months ago on the air on our Friday teaching editions. We'd love for you to have a copy. So you can donate anytime at basicgospel.net. Now, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.